If you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast,
on Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod,
or allcomedytshirts.com,
email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil
Hat. Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Tinfoil Hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. We're popping minds like champagne bottles. We are the Suicided. That was the name of our on our tour. We decided to go with the Suicided Squad because we love that. Well, did we love that movie? I just love the name. I actually didn't mind the movie. I didn't think it was that bad. Thank you guys for all your support. Real quick, you know, usually we have a bunch of big announcements before. We don't really have a lot in this one, which is cool. The big thing we can do is we want to send you to our t-shirt place. Go check out allcomedytshirts.com, Tinfoil Hat, and just check out all the cool new shirts we got. What do we got? We got the Wu-Tang Tinfoil Hat that's very popular.
We got the Starburst.
The Starburst one, which is our new logo. What else?
Your face. It says Truth Bombs. Go there. You guys check it all out.
Yeah, go check it out. We got so much. Oh, we got Question Everything. And this is all fan art, man. This is all fan art, dude. You draw something, we will post it and put it out there. You know, this is our, praise it. We were in our Satan, we were in the Satan Truth Bombs. So those are all out there. Go check them out. It's a great way to support the show. Check out the Patreon. We are uploading stuff all the time to it. So we appreciate that. Why don't you introduce our guest?
You know what? Brand new to all things comedy, man. Welcome to you guys. Movie night. You guys introduce yourself. To please, the left.
We have Dwayne Perkins joining us and TK Kelly, everybody.
What
please
is up, guys?
Welcome, guys.
What's up?
For joining us, joining our show.
Thanks for having us. I'm very impressed with your T-shirt collection. I feel like we haven't done shit.
That's a good idea, though. I like it that it's fan art, too, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you get your fans grow. I wish I could take any kind of claim of it. It's really this guy. He works really hard on getting the T-shirts done. So
Very nice.
And it's just like fans love to be a part of the show and they could draw something and they put it out and they appreciate that we appreciate what they're doing. So it's a lot of fun.
Nice. TK, we'll have to play rock, paper, scissors to see who has to work hard.
I don't know. We might have to get a third guy.
Tell us about your podcast.
Our podcast is called The Movie Night Podcast. It's pretty straightforward. Me and Dwayne just kick it with comedians, talk shit about whatever movie we happen to watch that week, play some games about it. Pretty basic.
Yeah, it's a great way to, for us, it's been a great way to catch up on movies that, you know, the movies that you should have seen but you didn't see. And then you don't want to, you know, the ones at a party, like, you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
You get yelled at and shit.
Yeah, the ones that get, you know, you get yelled at for not seeing. So we're catching up on all those movies. And we do some new movies sometimes, too.
What is the rule on spoiler alerts? What is your call on that?
We spoil everything.
I think, well, if it's a new movie, we'll wait like a week or two.
Well, here's the thing. A podcast is an active choice. If you're listening to a podcast about a certain movie, to expect not to hear... Everything about that movie to me is insane. I would never listen to that.
Can you watch a
podcast.
Movie when you know what the ending is? Like, I can watch sports if I know who won. Like MMA, basketball.
Really?
I just love to watch the game.
Especially if you know it was a good game or a good fight. Like, I love watching it. I don't mind already knowing. I mean,
if I know it's a good game, I can watch it.
A movie is different. It sucks, but you know, it's definitely happened.
I think too for us is that we're not doing a review. It's not like, should you see this or should you not? It's comprehensive. Like, we're comprehensively talking about it. So if you haven't seen it, it's going to be not as much fun.
Are you guys movie buffs? Is that why you got into it? Or are you just...
I feel like we're lightweight movie buffs.
I think that's
like,
exactly
I think we
right.
both really like movies, but we're just two guys who like movies. Like, we're not getting crazy deep into... We're not analyzing these films and shit. It's just like, hey, was this good? Did you like it? Why? And then we just kind of roll with it. We just talk like you would.
It's sort of like I wanted a middle ground because, like, I've seen movies with people... who, like, don't want to talk about the movie at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know that person. Hey, what'd you think of the movie? It was good. Yeah, but, you know, what'd you think? No, it was good. So I don't want to. I don't want to be that person. But right. I don't want to deal with the person who wants to, like, you know, just in Act Two when he didn't have his collar up.
Yeah. Like, ooh. Nobody gives a fuck. So, did you like it down. Or did you not?
That might be this podcast at this point. Everything is everything means something on this show. Real quick before, because this is a conspiracy podcast, and we kind of were like, hey man, let's talk, because we always get hit up. Hey man, do some conspiracies about movies. And we're like, oh fuck yeah, we're gonna do that. And so when we got hit up, we're super excited you guys are gonna come on to talk about it. But real quick, greatest movie of all time. Oof. I love it real quick.
That's real fucking tough.
Two words or less. No. I'm
Honestly, this is a heinous thing to say, but for me, if I have to pick one movie, I'm saying Dumb and Dumber.
Of all time,
that's strong.
Hey, dude, strong take.
It's all about watching power. It's all about watching power. For me, I'm like, I fucking love that. I still laugh at that movie every time I see it.
Oh, I'm cool.
Is it The Godfather? Fuck no. But if you said you get one movie to watch for the rest of your life, which one are you going with first?
Interesting.
So that's, I don't know, but I mean, that's,
I'm cool with that, dude.
I could list 100, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people my favorite movie is probably, it's a tie between, I would say, Coonley High, which is a movie that takes place in, I guess, 60s 70s. Mm-hmm. It's a black coming of age tale, which we don't get too many of those. Rappers are always talking about this movie. Always. I died because Lauryn Hill said, I cried in Coonley High when Cold Cheese died. It's basically New Jack City before, not New Jack City, Boys in the Hood before Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Dude with a scholarship, gonna go to college, gets killed, you know. And it's so old school, he doesn't get shot. Like, he gets beat up, killed. That's how old school it is.
Yeah.
And
Fist fight.
And it
wasn't, that,
like,
is old school.
Fist fight, it wasn't his fault. And I'm spoiling the movie. His best friend slept with this girl.
Oh, snap.
And they think he did. And but then the thing is, the best friend at the end, you see, like, it's one of these things where it's the first movie I saw that showed you what happened to the characters at the end.
Yeah.
And the best friend, as a black guy, moved to Hollywood, cracked Hollywood, and became a writer. So you leave with a little bit of hope at the end. But the whole movie, you're listening to Motown throughout the movie, and it's just a dope set in Chicago.
I love Motown. Yeah. I grew up on it. My dad. You know, some dads listen to rock, some dads listen to country. My dad was Motown way back in the day.
Right.
For me, the greatest movie I've ever seen is Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
It's such a great movie because back in the day, it was like there's no special effects. Like, everybody in that movie, with the exception of Shepard, what's her name? The woman the lead woman is, she's the only attractive one in it. Like, I really felt like back then, acting was more important than being good-looking and stunning, you know?
And those 70s movies.
Right, well, it was the golden age. We've talked about
feel. They just had such a different feel.
It was grit. It was real, and you had to deliver.
And that's like, that's a fucking film. Like, that is, if you want to talk about one of the greatest films of all time, like, hell yeah. But we also, like, I like, too, that I feel like we bounce back and forth between, we'll do movies, and then we'll do films. You know what I mean? And we're not, like, above one or anything. It's just, like, they both have their own place. And fucking Taxi Driver, wow. That's, like,
Black Panther, good movie, bad ever. Movie.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Good
great.
Movie.
Was it great, though?
Good movie.
Well, you know, his
was there,
not
there
a great
cultural,
movie, not a great
like, do
film?
I have to go like this before I talk about Black Panther?
You were not allowed to say you didn't like Black Panther.
No, wasn't that wasn't good. Yeah, it wasn't that it wasn't good.
Right.
It was just the hype and build up on it, which, let's get into conspiracies.
Right.
Disney making it a cultural
Rotten
event.
Tomatoes is in on it.
Well, I will say this, a few things. It's Black Panther's like Steph Curry 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, when like, everyone was like, this guy's the greatest thing ever. He's like a video game. And I think LeBron got a little upset because LeBron is like, hello,
right.
I'm still the greatest basketball
I'm
player.
I'm all of the attributes up to 100,
and
every
so
single one.
When something gets that hyped, it's hard to enjoy it. So I will say that. I think it's a really good movie. But I think if...
It's an Avengers movie or like, excuse me, that's blasphemy. It's a Marvel movie, so it's good.
But do you notice like things on Rotten Tomatoes now are getting... 100%.
We're being told
99%.
Everything is great. Like, everything can't be great.
Like, even if I love a movie, I'm like, no one didn't like it?
Like, dude, are you telling me not, like, when Get Out, which was a good movie, but, like, not one racist redneck was like, fuck this shit,
and gave it a neck. They're not on Rotten Tomatoes. You know what the real problem is, and me and Dwayne have really chopped it up about this, is that, as far as I know, Rotten Tomatoes is just a thumbs up or thumbs down system. So if every critic gives it a thumbs up, that helps the percentage. They're not all rating it each saying this is a 100% perfect movie.
Right.
So when it shows up as this 100% or 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, that just speaks to the amount of people who liked it, not how good it really is.
Right.
You know?
And it's also like so many things are formulaic nowadays that I think when something is good, we lose our shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because
sure,
so many things have not even been good. We're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And it's like, well, actually, it's just good.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen anything good in a while, so that's why you're acting
like
this.
Well, in a world that celebrates crap, good is, you know, it's like great. The old saying, yeah, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, right?
Okay. So, Minority Report.
Right? So let's get into some conspiracies. I mean, we did one on Stanley Kubrick and all that amazing stuff from his movies, and I just loved it because I do believe our guest was wonderful. He didn't necessarily believe in all that, but I believe when you're someone that detail-oriented, everything means something.
Right.
Yes. That guy operated on a different plane. Like, I could easily see him being involved in some shit way bigger than the rest of us.
Well, you know, there's a whole thing about, you know, the Eyes Wide Shut was talking about the Rothschild sex parties.
Oh, wow.
And then the whole thing about...
talking about the Apollo missions, like hoaxing the moon landing.
Yeah. I mean, the Apollo thing was supposed to have been him, right? I mean, that's
craziness.
That seems crazy, but then I'm like, nah, I could see it.
You guys seen that documentary? It's called Room. What is it, Aaron? 257. 237.
I haven't.
It's all about it. It breaks down because that's the number of the room in The Shining. So it like breaks down that. There's all this tie-in. It's pretty good.
We'll have to check
it out. So you guys sent some stuff. Ryan has a couple tricks up his sleeve.
Let's just go for it.
Ryan's always like, I can't wait to blow your mind.
I like your keyboard.
So why don't you, Ryan, go, because you have stuff you want to throw in. Do you want to lead us through it as we talk?
Let's start out. Let's see what you guys got.
What do you guys
want to
start with?
I think it's good to start with something. Like some of these theories are like more like, they're not conspiracy theories as much as they're sort of like, a person with too much time on their hand, and something
that,
I'm gonna do this because I didn't have time.
Right.
It is very important on this podcast,
yes,
that you guys come in open-minded ideas, because we've had people come in and be like, fuck conspiracies, and then fire where I see them and they have a look in their eyes like they just walked in on a ghost making love to their mother, and they're like, forewarned, it's important.
No, I like all of these theories. It's just sort of like if you have a theory about a movie that someone wrote, and then you go to that person and you say, hey, is this what you were doing? And they say no. You know, it's kind of
No, it is interesting.
I love the Ferris Bueller one.
That's an interesting one.
I just think you look at it and you're like, man, logically you can raise some questions. And the theory is that in the movie Ferris Bueller, it's sort of almost like Fight Club before Fight Club. And Cameron is Cameron and Ferris. And Ferris is Cameron's Tyler Durden from, you know, Fight Club in essence. And it really makes a lot of sense.
100%. When you sit back and you think about that, great analogy. That's Fight Club before Fight Club.
Because it's they're hanging out in threes, and you're like, what kind of guy is this going to hang out with this hot chick and the whole time?
Yes.
But at the same time, it makes sense because when you're trying to talk to a girl, in the back of your mind, you have a Cameron that's like, dude, this isn't going to work.
Right.
You
have to like, fake some confidence.
Yeah. You have like a Ryan and a Sam on your shoulder. Ryan's like, you know what? She's spiritual. Love her. And Sam's like, knuckle drag her. Just get weird with her. She wants it. She needs it. She's going to be sad if she doesn't get it. You know? So, yeah, I could see that, dude, for sure.
And in fact, you know, I wish that really was I really wish that was in a movie and that was the reveal.
Yeah.
Like, how dope would that be?
When the car goes through it, and then he turns around and he looks, and they're not there, and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, right? It is. Looking back at this movie,
is that how it ends? Well, no. One of the big breaking points for Cameron, to finally accept
the car. Yeah,
was the breaking through the glass. There's metaphorical to it, you know.
And then, I mean, Ferris, who is this infallible, perfect character, like he makes this improbable trip back home and gets there just in time. It all, like, you could see how this entire movie could be the imagining of a guy like Cameron, who's just like, I'm a fucking loser, man. Wouldn't it be awesome if I was this way? If I was always cool? If I was always comfortable? And you kind of wonder, like, man, I wonder if it was that in the writer's head somewhere, or is this completely unintentional?
Right. Well, I think it's sort of like, I don't know, I meant to look it up right before we started, but how psychology works, you have your id, your ego, yeah, all that exactly. stuff. So it's just, every movie in a sense is just like different parts of the same person. They say when you dream, you're all the characters, you know? And you picture them as other people, but they're all you.
No, that's really interesting. And it's kind of like, we see this in real life and almost in comedy too, where it's like, let's say like Andrew Dice Clay creates this character, right. And that's kind of like, you know, his Fight Club. He has his regular guy that I don't know if he's ever was a meek dude. I don't think that was ever Andrew Dice Clay's whole thing, but he creates this persona that allows him to like say these vile things that everyone's like, you know, and then he slowly becomes this character.
Right,
yeah.
right. Even, you know, Dane off stage. I remember first meeting Dane in Boston, and he was, I guess, starting to ascend.
Yeah.
And it was, I'll never forget, I think it was Bobby Kelly for sure. May have been Bill Burr or it may have been Patrice. I think it was Patrice and Bobby. And I'm there talking to Dane, and Dane is like, he's the meekest one, you know? And he's like, this is in Boston. He's like, I'm moving to New York, and, you know, and he's almost like apologizing. And, you know, Bobby Kelly's like, yeah, you'll be back, dude. You'll be back. And Dane is just sort of like, And I was sort of like thinking, like, those other two guys, super dynamic. I'm a young comic. I don't know anything.
Year was this?
It's like 94. And I'm like, that guy's super meek. And then like that day or that later that night or maybe the next night, I saw him on stage. And I was like, fuck. Like, he destroyed. And I was like, I don't even know if I met that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
people don't.
It was crazy.
People don't realize, like, the level of destruction that early Dane Cook had. And I'm talking, like, 2001. I mean, right. So you saw him even earlier.
Yeah,
that.
In Boston, he was a problem. And then he came out here, he was still a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you always said something really funny. It was like, I remember you had to follow me and you were like, yeah, I call following Triple E an education. You know, you're about to get an education. And I always thought about that. And I'm always like, oh, man. And I think about that. All, like Joey Diaz, Ron White. Like, these are educations. And like Alonzo Bowden have to follow like Dane Cook all the time at these, like, at Dublin's, like, an now, like, he's bulletproof. Like, if you can follow Dane at the height of his power, bulletproof.
Exactly,
dude.
Exactly. And it's not about, you know, it's not about topping him. It's just about weathering it. And
surviving it, you know? The 5 minutes that and not, like, wilting, like, oh, they don't like me. But, yeah.
But Dane himself told me a story, which I always thought was crazy. At his height, someone thought it was a good idea to have him open, like, you know, for Paula Poundstone, right? So so Dane is Dane, and he's opening for Paula Poundstone. She's great, a legend, but, you know, she's kind of up there doing her thing.
NPR.
And, so Dane didn't
one's
know.
One's K-Rock, one's NPR. Yeah.
And Dane said he wasn't sure if he should kill or whatever, and then I guess someone told him, just do what you do, and he just destroyed. And it was an education for him, because I guess Paula went up, and he told me, he said it was like she put out a cigarette. Like, that's how easy it was for her to follow him. Now, of course, they're there to see her, but still, you imagine Dane just crushing, and then Paula Poundstone just going, all right, that was nice. Let's do what I do now.
Yeah, you know,
just no apologies. Just
for sure,
you know, dude. Going for it. And so, yeah, that duality is, and Ferris Bueller has that.
For sure.
And there seems to be, I knew that you wanted to talk about that aspect, I kind of wanted to find a theme, and the idea is illusion, if you will, and dream. And what I was going to talk about is the idea of the most powerful thing in the universe is an idea. And from that, the movie Inception. So let me just go ahead and play this for you guys.
What is the most resilient parasite? Bacteria? A virus? An intestinal worm?
What Mr. Cobb is trying to say.
An idea. Resilient, highly contagious.
Once an idea has taken hold in the brain, it's almost impossible to eradicate. An idea that is fully formed, fully understood, that sticks right in there somewhere.
You know what I mean?
That's powerful. You know, what's weird is that I have this, I believe that's 100% true, but I also think if it's a toxic idea, you have to share it.
Yes.
And because if you don't share it, then it just festers. And if you share it with someone you trust, they can be like, oh, that's crazy, or here's why you're thinking that, or you don't really think that. This is just, but when you're afraid of the idea, you know what I mean? It's like a demon. You can't, you're not more powerful than the idea, you know?
It's the power of talk therapy, you know? That's why it's good to get things out, you know?
Yeah. Well, because if you don't say it to anyone, you just keep saying it to yourself over and over.
Well, we find that positive thinking, negative thinking, and those are ideas, can definitely affect how you live your life, your quality of life. I mean, we talked about on the tour recently about, the plant, the water that got talked to positively versus the water that got talked to negatively. The right. plants that get talked to positively versus the plants that don't get talked to. You know, you talked about the guy that was diagnosed with brain cancer and 2 weeks later he's dead. And then they find out like he just had, it was
benign.
Benign. It was never going to kill him.
It never killed him. So literally he accepted his mortality. Jesus. And he turned, the power of thought can kill you.
That's crazy. And, you know, like I've had things where I've had to fake laugh just for like ADR or something, and just fake laughing like for 5 minutes, then you'll start real laughing.
Yeah. What about when we were growing up, there were legends of comics who paid people to come laugh at their act. And you're like, I just think about, how about just write funny jokes so you don't have to pay anybody?
It seems like the long way. I don't know.
But it's just like, it's contagious, and how one table that's really loving an act can get the room on fire, but also how one person not enjoying the show can just spread
derail
like
everything.
Because one person with their arms crossed, they're daring everyone else to laugh.
Yeah.
And you've seen that where like this person is actively not having fun.
Right.
Then the person next to them, they feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was funny, but you seem really unhappy. Maybe it's not that funny. It absolutely
and then
spreads.
Once you acknowledge something, it becomes real.
Yeah.
So when I acknowledge that this person isn't laughing, then it becomes a situation.
And it just magnifies it so much, right. too. It's so hard to fight the instinct to acknowledge when someone is that bad of an audience member.
Right.
But it's so easy to forget that not everybody else is looking at you, not at that one asshole. So when you shine a light on them, all of a sudden it's like the whole room tightens up. Like, oh my God, are we not doing this right?
What's your take on that? Because I'm really good at ignoring that person.
I want to so bad.
I'm really good at ignoring them. We have this battle, me and that person. I'm like, everyone else is laughing. I'm going to get you to laugh or at least smile to admit that you're wrong and I'm right. But sometimes I get off stage and I feel like, even after a good set, I feel shitty. I feel defeated. I feel picked on. I feel bullied because I didn't address it.
Well,
but I feel like a professional because I didn't address it.
I feel like in LA, it's like, do you have time to address it, right?
That's
it just
true.
Depends on how long your set is. I'll try to power through, but it's tough sometimes.
I don't let them hijack it. I hijack them.
Mm.
It's almost like I grab them, I put a gun to their head, and we just do this act together. Right? And we're just like, yeah, this is funny, right? And I bring them in, and I make them the joke, and now it's me and them versus everybody, and they're having fun, and I just make them the center of this butt of this joke.
Right, right.
And that's kind of how I deal with it. Now, Inception is such a mind fuck. I feel like it is like modern Hollywood where like you'll drive down the street, there's nothing there. Next day, boom, it's an entire building has been built in two fucking minutes, dude. And how like, you know, for me, like it's so interesting. Like I can control your dreams. Like I especially as a child, I used to almost reverse it back. Like, okay, let's play that one over again. But now lately, sometimes like I'm just getting my ass kicked in my dreams, and I'm like, this is my dream.
We're on a road trip just this past weekend, and I wish I would have videotaped it. Sam was moving his thumb as though he was scrolling, and there was no phone in his hand. And then out of nowhere, he goes, "No." And I'm like, Santa's getting into arguments on Twitter in his sleep, dude.
Oh, you think that's bad? You see me in the shower, dude. I am just, I'm fucking arguing in front of the Supreme Court, dude. That's how much I'm fucking, I wish I wasn't that way. It's just the Armo in me, dude.
That's crazy. When I was in school, I when I had speeches to do, mm-hmm. when I was in grad school and I'd have to do a speech the next day, I would dream the speech. Dream like the whole thing.
Yeah, I do.
Almost
sometimes.
Like a practice. And I didn't go to bed thinking, oh, I should practice this in my sleep. But I would wake up and I'm like, it wasn't even like a dream in a sense. It wasn't, you know how dreams are really weird? It would just be me doing the speech.
Just straightforward.
The whole speech. Yeah.
And your own Napoleon Dynamite moment where you're in front of the whole auditorium doing your whole speech and all that stuff.
Right.
So as cool as Inception is, like visually and the whole idea of putting an idea, here's the real conspiracy. Inception is the prequel to The Matrix. Do you know about this?
No,
I haven't heard.
I only
about
know the
that
ring one. I didn't hear about this.
So
one.
The reason why is because Cobbs, the guy they're trying to incept, mm-hmm. The two people they're working with, these guys are major CEOs of energy companies.
Right.
In order to get the Matrix online, you need to convert human beings into energy, like a 22% fuel source, solar is trying to go with Tesla. So this is laying out the groundwork. So the fact that we can get into the brain is the first part. The technology turning us into batteries is, we haven't seen that part.
Well, yeah, I mean, that kind of holds together because Inception, like the whole second half of that movie is playing quite a bit with like, what is real and what is his dream? So could you just be living in a dream state, which is effectively, you could call the Matrix exactly that.
My mind is completely blown. And when
Papa models, mine's like champagne bottles.
I don't know if it's in India or the one guy, because, you know, that scene where he says, these guys are stuck in the dream. Yeah. And he goes, why don't you let them out? And he goes, well, for them, the dream is their reality. That's the Matrix, right?
Exactly.
Like, oh, fuck, yeah.
This movie, Inception is such a... Like, it's one of those movies where I feel like I don't think even Christopher Nolan knows what the fuck it is. It's so hard to wrap your brain around the intricacies of that movie. That, like you said, there's the ring conspiracy about whether
that's white
Leo
people
is
movies.
Awake
Can
or
I just
not.
Say that? White people movies is like comedy. It's like we just love to get over analytical and get so fucking weird that no one can relate to it.
Yeah.
But then when I watch someone like Tony Rock, like his and this is all love. It's like his ability to take something that we all kind of go through and just really get into the nooks of it, you know, is like what makes it amazing. I don't want to call it black comedy, but it's like what makes
Dane
it.
Dane does that too. That's Dane's whole thing. Drill
but
down.
I think like I watch like Earthquake. These guys are like masters, dude, of this ability to take this really simple thought. And Sebastian does it too.
Yes, yeah,
but it's like it's definitely like an urban comedy thing. Whereas like, you know, so many Quentin Tarantinos of comedy where it's like this over analytical, almost like alt comedy thing where it's like gotta be so effing original that it like doesn't even connect with anybody.
I love the comparison of Inception to alt comedy.
You know, it's just it's that
movie.
Like these nerds are like, it's the greatest thing ever. You're like, nobody enjoyed that. Nobody enjoyed it. Yeah. Nobody related to it. Right, we're just sitting here digesting this like thing, trying to figure out what's going through it when you just get to have some fun, simple shit.
I wish someone would create an app that you could put Christopher Nolan movies through that would remove the wong. So it'd be 45 minutes shorter.
What are the other movies he's done?
As the buildings rise up and turn.
Did he do Interstellar? Was that him?
Interstellar.
He was.
Batman, the Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
What's the one where everything's in backwards?
Memento.
Yeah, there we go.
I've seen him explain Memento on a chalkboard, and still at the end of it, I was like, I don't know what the fuck that meant.
Have you seen when they play it forwards? Or they've done that where they actually play, they've reversed edited it where it goes forwards.
Yeah.
So you see the movie. And they've also done, he does it every now
it's
and then.
It's actually
an
Easter egg on the DVD. You can, there's a series of numbers you can press on Memento's DVD. It'll play it forward.
How sexy is Aaron's voice
right now? It was slow jamming
sure
momentum.
Right.
Moment.
Sure you're right.
But yeah, so in Pulp Fiction too, Tarantino every now and then he releases the cut where it's in chronological order.
Yeah.
So it starts with Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. That's great. If you guys ever get a chance, you definitely do
but
it.
But then in that order, you know, like John Travolta dies. I mean, he dies either way, but because it's out of order, you get to see him after he got shot. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I like that because it's kind of sad when he gets shot, but then you see him in the next scene with the shorts on in the diner. You go, oh, it's like he's still alive.
Exactly. He's okay, guys. Yeah. He's gonna make it.
But different people did The Matrix, so like.
No, I thought it was all the Wachowski brothers. I was working at the Standard valeting when the Wachowski brothers, and they were both the brothers at this time, sisters, but they're the brothers, and they were they knew I love kung fu movies, so they give me daily updates on everything, and they're like, really? "Dude, this is gonna change the game. We're getting back, you know, we're getting back to martial arts movies."
Yeah,
and I'm like, I can't wait to see it. But I wasn't thinking. I was like, "Oh, these guys are just too eccentric." You know, the one brother's wife was a tarot card reader, psychic.
Yeah,
she was like giving me all these psychic readings, right? And then when I went and saw the movie, I was like, oh, man, I was talking to guys who changed the game.
They did. Absolutely. They really did.
So how'd they know you're into kung fu? Where like every time they pull up their car, you're just like air punching. Because I was like, hey, this guy likes kung fu.
Well, people would be like, oh, dude, those are the Wachowski brothers. And they, you know, what was it, 2 days in the Valley? What was what was their first movie? I'm like, oh, it's cool.
No, the only thing they'd done before The Matrix was Bound. With Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, movie. That was okay. So I was thinking the 2 Days of the Valley was Jennifer Tilly, but it was Bound, right? So they did Bound, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're the thing. So I would just talk to them, you know, and they were just like, oh, yeah, we're doing this movie called The Matrix. And I'm like, oh, it sounds cool. It's like, blah, blah, blah. And then it came out. I was like, oh
my so God. Dumb. Yeah, I don't know of too many movies that blew my mind the way that movie.
Can I
did.
Just tell you that I thought Doctor Strange did the same thing to me that The Matrix did.
Really?
Like when I watch it, I'm like, okay, we haven't seen anything like this.
It was really interesting, yeah.
It was like, oh, the graphics were... Like I felt like these Marvel movies that are coming out is what people wait... The first guy who did King Kong, right? When he did King Kong, he goes, oh, that's... This is what he visualized, like... Mm-hmm. One day being able to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the Akoma, like we finally got to this level where it's like the CGI looks real.
Everything is so seamless. There's no longer any kind of cap on imagination. It's like if you can think of it and write it down, it can be in a movie. And it's fucking amazing.
Here's a conspiracy. What do you guys believe DC's problem is?
I think DC's trying too hard to be so... They're trying so hard to be gloomy.
You guys ever seen their anime? Their animation?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
They have some like R-rated ones where it's like bloody as fuck. And it's awesome.
And it's not bad, right?
Yeah, they make really good animation.
I think my beef with DC is that they're building this tone on their universe that's built, I think, off the Batman movies. But Batman... tonally is such a different character for DC, so much darker than all of the other ones.
Right.
And I just think they took that too much into other franchises now, and it's like, just do what you did. Do what worked in the comic books. Do what helped you hang with Marvel in the first place, instead of trying to be this like gritty, everything's got to be so badass. Everything's gray.
Yeah.
Everything's gray in DC.
Too much dialogue.
Yeah.
Justice League had too much dialogue. It's action porn, dog.
Yeah.
See, DC should just give up on DC, and they should just do nothing but Valiant and Dark Horse, which I do believe they own, and that's like Constantine and Preacher, I believe. Was so they should
There's
do nothing
a Preacher
but
show. Yeah,
I love Preacher. It's the only thing I
look
watched
at the Batman movies that rock. How do they open with a giant action scene? Joker does something crazy. Boom, we're into it. This new one's like, oh man. God, we missed Superman. Yeah.
They're trying to be so heady. Everything's got to be so heady.
Because, you know, hey, guys, here's some coffee and some muffins. How do you feel about it, Aquaman? My feelings hurt.
Right.
You know? Just like too much talk, man.
Yeah.
Get Absolutely. To the ass kicking.
No question. I don't need to see congressional hearings and all this bullshit. Like Avengers, what was the one we just did? Infinity War. Like they just get right into
Dude,
it.
They opened up with
it's
Thor
happening.
Getting ass beating. Yes.
It just... DC, they're trying so hard to be this intellectual, gritty Batman world, and it's just like...
Nobody wants
just be fun.
That.
Let Superman be fun and bright and sunny.
Because for that kind of movie, you're going to go to the Lamley, and I call them... I think you know, I call them white people going to the lake movies.
Yeah.
You know, where white people go to the lake, and they just figure some shit out. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
DC, you can't make that movie. Yeah. You have people with superpowers at your disposal. We need to see the superpowers.
Fight.
Yeah.
Fight. fight.
And since we are a conspiracy theory podcast, we're talking about The Matrix, we gotta play the most famous.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Hmm. How many people take the blue? How many take the red?
Yeah. It's tough. And here's the thing. If, say, we were, theoretically, if we're in a matrix right now, we don't
right.
know.
We are.
When did, it happen?
I believe in simulation theory.
When did it happen?
Okay, so you want to hear that? Ryan talks about it a lot.
Uh-huh. Let's get into it.
Ryan, your theory is?
So there is an auto-correction sequence that scientists are discovering mm-hmm. at the very smallest, basically, gravitrons. So auto-correction sequences only exist in something that's a simulation. That's why in video games, you can go to the edge and they can make the horizon go on for infinity. Mm-hmm. In the nature, pi is 3.14, but it goes brrr, and that's yes. the golden ratio. It's what makes a nautilus. So auto-correction sequences don't occur anywhere in nature. But these scientists that are way smarter than us are saying the more we study reality, the more it appears to be a simulation.
Because of spirals? Because of the golden ratio? Or?
What they're seeing is at the very basis of everything, this in the sequence of the way the gravitrons are moving through everything, mm-hmm. that there is an auto-correction sequence that should not be anywhere. And it's an exact one, like you said, when did it happen? I believe it's in a binary code that was invented in the 40s.
Uh-huh.
So they're saying that perhaps we slipped into
the matrix. If you listen, there's a
that means the technology was that good in the 40s that we didn't know about, theoretically.
Well, also, there's also
the 40s
the theory,
is when Roswell happened. What,
there's oh, also the theory that we are a playback by AI
exactly.
to figure out what happened, how they got to there, and yeah. all this shit, you know. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, which is the celebrity scientist of choice,
right.
he was holding a panel, and I forget the name of the scientist, but the scientist said basically that his research, that they had gone so deep into the particles of the universe, they broke it down so small that they actually saw binary code. Ones
wow.
and zeros.
In a microscope, you mean?
Yeah, like it went so deep, they found binary code. And that wasn't a big deal. Everyone kind of moved. I mean, Neil deGrasse Tyson's like, what?
That's pretty. Sounds like
mind.
A pretty big deal.
And everyone's like, okay, next question.
DNA kind of looks like a.
Yeah, well,
a
I mean,
UPC
it does
sim,
kind of
like
all
a,
break
like,
down.
Like your UPC code, your barcode, yeah.
For sure, dude.
It's funny to me that this is coming from bringing up The Matrix, because The Matrix, like, people had talked about the whole theory of everything being a simulation before that movie, but that movie made everybody think about it and made everybody realize, like, it probably, like, how would I fucking know? How could I possibly say that that's not possible?
Well, for sure. Yeah. And then we kind of look back, and I mean, like, you know, the whole joke is I've been talking about the simulation is broken when, you know, Kim Kardashian, a lady who faked a robbery in Paris for attention, goes to see reality star President Donald Trump yeah. to talk
prison reform. Oh,
that picture
broke my brain.
You know?
But Kanye didn't fake leave. He left a real concert that people had paid money to see.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw him live. I love old Kanye. This yeah. guy just broken.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know, we've done shows on the moon before, and like the craziness of how the moon is such a unique satellite. It's like, it really makes no sense. Like, it's so big, it should not be stuck in our orbit. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about this.
Yeah.
There are butterflies that can beat gravity. There's a balloon that can beat gravity. You're like, well, it's lighter than gravity, blah, blah, blah. It's lighter than air, all this shit. You could break it all down. Two jets on a plane can beat gravity. But this gigantic thing that is bigger than Pluto is stuck in our gravity. And it's the only...
Tidal locked.
Yeah, it's the only what orbit that is perfectly symmetrical. Like, it goes around. It never wobbles. Like, everything else, it would just be a random thing. It all stays on the same. It stays in front. It never turns, no nothing. Yeah. So the whole theory is that it is an energy. So, like, it basically is the matrix. It takes our energy. It's an alien energy harvester. That's one of the things that goes on there.
That's deep. And that's the thing about conspiracy theories is it's all homework. Like, it's every time you hear a conspiracy theory, you have to run and do homework. And then you get more homework. And then you get more homework.
I love it, dude. You know what I mean? Such a great point, because most people want to dismiss shit because they, like, what we find in this show when we leave here and we go talk to regular people is a discussion of, it's basically propaganda versus conspiracy. It is.
Yeah.
I heard this on MSNBC and I didn't want to do any research because I trust these people. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to regurgitate what you're saying versus. To be honest with you, a lot of conspiracy theorists do a lot of research.
They do a lot more than I do in completely dismissing them. So it's like,
you know, it's just really the truth of the whole
thing. That's a great point. And like when you guys had Eddie talking about the chemtrails and controlling the weather and all of that, and you know, he had some proof. He had a CIA guy addressing, you know, talking about weather, you know, like. And you know, obviously you could go, well, you can take anything and blow it up and blah, 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 blah. But I think, you know, you can't say where there's smoke, there's fire, but somehow that doesn't apply at all to conspiracy theories. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's a really good point. I feel like that's how I generally feel about conspiracy theories is like, it wouldn't surprise me. There's so little now that would surprise me. I do firmly believe there is shit going on above our pay grade that we will never be aware of. Yeah. So, like, why not? Who am I to draw the line and say, like, nah, that's where it's
crazy. A big thing with conspiracy theorists is that, and it is just, we don't forget. Like, we keep score. It's like your buddy in sports who can yell any, give you any stat of any time. Right. What was Michael Jordan's points per game in 1987? They're like blah 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 blah. That's conspiracy. They keep a score. They're like the old baseball where it was like, you know, the guys go to the baseball game and they're doing it all themselves, right?
The score sheet,
That's conspiracy theorists, where most people just move on. And what happened in the past doesn't apply right now.
Have you guys ever seen Waking Life? Have you ever heard of this film?
No.
Rich, I know you have, haven't you, Mr. Aaron?
Yes.
Richard Linklater. It came out in like the 90s. And this film is animated, but it was filmed in high definition, and they basically animated on top of it. So it's a living film. This isn't... The whole idea is a bunch of vignettes about dreams, whether life's a dream and whatnot. And since we're talking about the conspiracies in general, everyone knows this name now, Alex Jones. Well, he was in this film because Richard Linklater is from Austin.
Really?
Yeah. And this right here, I'm going to play, it's only a minute. It, you know, you might think different of Alex, what you know now. This is what he's always spoken about, though.
You can't fight City Hall. Death and taxes. Don't talk about politics or religion. This is all the equivalent.
Of enemy propaganda rolling across the picket line. Lay down, G.I., lay down, G.I. We saw it all through the 20th century. And now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more. I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
So basically, if you don't know that basically what that is it is him driving a car through Austin on like
an amplifier.
Yeah, and he's screaming this to the people on the streets.
And now he has the president's ear.
But- yeah. That is, I don't know, that's disconcerting to me to know that, like, all right, So somebody like that starts in a car, yelling out the window, whatever.
Yeah,
like Sam.
Is he
early podcast?
I question: Is he? Does he legitimately believe and feel those things, or knowing where he ended up and the level he's reached, is it always just been kind of a ploy?
I'd say
that's
knowing,
a great question.
It's a good question.
There's always the talk of whether he is what in the industry we call in our group the shills. Like we often get called gay Jew shills constantly on this show. Everybody is convinced he's my handler, that he has shown up into my life to create this thing because he's CIA. Nobody, I know where he lives. I don't know where he lives.
He's never seen my ID card.
But show me your ID card right now.
The best part that Sam is so checked out that this is, it just makes the CIA's job that much easier.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
So... So the whole thing is like the truth of the matter is sometimes when you get really big, there's a invisible hand at work, and there's a lot of talk about that within Alex Jones. He pushes a certain narrative to me that makes me think that there is something going on there. Like if you're in the conspiracy theories, right? You don't yell about Islamic jihadists because we realize that they're all on the payroll and that it's just part of the war machine to get scare us to think that these people want to blow us up.
Right, right.
When you find out that our taxpayer dollars are going to them to, you know, when the U.S. government got busted, basically paying a British PR firm $500 million to make ISIS beheading videos. And, like, nobody talks about that shit. And you're like, oh, that's just the propaganda to create fear. So we're like, oh, take our money.
The military complex, basically.
Yes, it all keeps the machine running.
Yeah. And we realize, because we, you know, and it just a lot, and it becomes all banker wars. So when I hear Alex Jones talk about Islamic jihadists, it makes me question how much of a conspiracy theorist he is.
That's what I mean. It feels to me like he's somebody who realized, oh, if I take this here, I could reach this bigger audience, get more exposure, and it's maybe gotten to the level where it is just to stir up that pot.
And you can also, in essence, cut off other conspiracy theorists at the knees because you say some of what they're saying, and I'm not saying he's doing this, I don't know, but you say some of what they're saying sounds just true enough, but also you distract and deter from their message I think people don't realize is that, you know, in church they say the devil knows the scripture too, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Somebody, that's great. That's a great line.
Somebody can always give you a little bit of information, you know, like in Brooklyn, like someone, I think this guy named Brooklyn Mike had a great joke. He had like, he said a bass, what's the difference between a bass head and a crackhead? And he said a crackhead will steal your shit. A bass head will steal your shit, but they'll help you look for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I get that, dude. I get that. That's so fucking interesting, dude.
What I like about your guys' show, because there is other movie podcasts, is how you guys started out with, like, you take it just fun enough, because I have listened to those ones that are just way too in-depth, where I'm like, I don't even, shut up. So right. I think what you guys do on your podcast is like what we do on ours. We make it fun and interesting, so.
Do we have any other conspiracies? Oh, yeah.
Going right along with it, the idea of illusion and that free will is a choice, Minority Report.
Oh, yeah.
I love that
movie. Is now coming to be true. And what tie in together, Minority Report is a Philip K. Dick novel, the same way Waking Life, I believe, originally.
Interesting.
Well, it's very interesting about Minority Reports because it talked about, I don't know what the exact phrase
is. Pre-crime.
But pre-crime, which is precognitive prediction.
And,
listen,
and you can get pregnant from pre-crime. Oh, pre-crime. I'm sorry.
Well, we see that Israel is now using that.
China.
They're collecting data to go, what are the indicators of that you might cause problems based on your social media and what you post? And it's scary.
It's terrifying. Dude. That's very, to start saying you can predict someone's behavior is heinous. That's the most unfair. The notion of this movie, pre-crime, you are taken to jail before you've done anything wrong. Mm. And the entire theme is like, is that okay at all?
Right. And then I know we're going to get to the part about, maybe the part about the end, whether he's dreaming or not. In all this conversation, when you look at, I don't know who, Quakers or the other guys, the Mennonites, is that, kind of begs the question, are they onto something? You know what I mean? Like, do you, Pandora's box or biting of the forbidden fruit. When you start down the road, is at that moment, do you seal your fate? You know, like when you start with a computer, you start with any technology, even the wheel, do you seal your fate? And so, in essence, is it all inevitable? Because we just are, you know, convenience is our thing, and we're just going to keep getting more and more convenient. Like, I was with Sebastian in Dubai, and he was in that hotel,
the Giant Al Burj,
I think. He was staying there, so I went to hang out with Sebastian. I was staying at a different hotel. And, like, you had a guy on the floor. You had your own guy. It was a 7-star hotel.
You had your own guy. Like, seven? He was yours.
Yeah, yeah. Which is...
Do you know that guy, our friend banned from that country for making fun of the seven? Like, Ahmed made fun of the fact that there's only five stars. He goes, seven stars. We know who made that up, right? The fucking prince. And, like, he got thrown out of the country for that.
Yeah. And so, but what is 7 stars? And I wrote a blog once about it, and I was like, I guess, like, at 14 stars, they strap you to a gurney. They feed you. Like, at some point, convenience means you just sit there. Like, literally don't get up.
Yeah, the loss of free will.
Full automation.
Yeah, full automation.
It's, like, where everything's headed.
And like, all these things kind of tap into that. So is the choice, like, can we draw the line somewhere? Like, you were talking about with conspiracy theories. Or do we have to go, all right, either we're all aboard and let this go where it goes, or we have to start fires with our hand. Like, is that the choice?
Well, I mean, like, that's a really great point, because I believe that can be applied to life.
Yeah.
How we see so many people take the first exit off the highway of life, and they end up into these jobs that are just like the quick fix job that is a summer job. The next thing you know, it's a career, and they're like, how did I fucking end up here? Like, if you take a look at comedy, like, the 23 years in the game, doc, you know, and just like, things are now cooking with gas. Is there anybody that would be crazy enough to stay in something for 23 years?
Right.
Then it starts paying off. Like, that's nuts. I mean, but that's what you're talking about, like starting fire with your hand. Like, it's just like, sometimes you got to go through some really rough shit. And what we've done in this society is we've made it so being unpleasant, uncomfortable, angry, sad, almost a little depressed is this horrible thing that we can't be a part of, and we have to do everything that we can to make sure that we don't feel anything. The numbing out. And it's what you're talking about. Like, at what point does it stop? At what point do we just lay on a gurney, get painkillers thrown into us, food,
just get turned into a battery.
Thai lady boy gives us amazing hand jobs, and we never, ever have to need. Like, that's where it's going.
We're taking away
it's
all
always
struggle.
Been where it's going. I mean, if you go as far back as a writer like Philip K. Dick, or you could go to fucking Wall-E. Like, they're all predicting the
Wall-E
same horrible
was great,
shit
dude.
In the future. It's like, there's no... This is set in motion, and there's kind of no going back.
Pixar did Wall-E, right? I mean, that to me is what art is meant to be, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... Get them laughing, slip them the truth.
Yes.
I mean, what an entertaining movie that lets you know, dude, you got to wake up or else it's going to get bad.
Right.
This movie, for me, I feels very, very within the realm of possibility. Like, in the near future, the whole pre-crime thing is eerily possible. And I love the conspiracy theories about this movie, because this is one that I very much agree with. The whole idea that Tom Cruise's character is in a dream, mm-hmm. after they capture him, that the rest is a dream. I think it makes perfect sense. And unlike a lot of the other ones, it's kind of easy to poke holes into me. I'm like, I don't know. I don't see any big flaws in that.
That's a good one. And you said it before, but I might as well just play it now.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Now, we've heard that all before. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, about 30 minutes ago.
Right? But that actually comes from the 4th century. The real quote is, "In the street of the blind, the one-eyed man is called the guiding light."
Mm.
So that was the remix of it.
Well, what's interesting...
That was a Puff Daddy remix.
Because the king is a little evil. The guiding light is helping you.
Yeah.
Well,
not that kings are evil.
Me being a conspiracy theorist, a one-eyed and what is light... Guiding light is like Lucifer.
Oh, Illuminati. Shit. Illuminati. Wow.
So if you can,
Oh, shit. Yeah,
that's my idea on it.
Wow.
So they're saying keep people blind and you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at keep their eye off the prize. I mean, this whole thing going on, the media is just like getting us fighting with each other, man. And we're more alike than we are different, but you have these AstroTurf people we were just talking in the last episode, these blue check people you've never heard of with 450,000 followers on it. Like, they're just like, oh, we hate her. This person's racist. This person hates, you know, it's like everybody's fighting with each other. We can't focus on that there's some puppets up here making money off of all of us.
And it feels, I don't know if this is just my own panic, but it feels it's accelerating it so much quicker than, at least, you know, as a kid, it didn't feel like the deterioration of the world was like right on the, we were like right on the cusp of it. And now I'm like, yeah, if this all ended in 5 years, I would buy that.
Usually I say it's not as bad as you think it is, but I mean, I've traveled, I was just traveling the country. I went home, saw my mom, did some, it's getting really bad out there, dude. Like, there are some parts of this country that are straight up third world, dude.
Yeah.
And as we fight, as you know, it's like I was on Jimmy Dore. I saw a great meme that said, you know, the news is super rich people telling rich people to convince middle class people that poor people are the problem, you know? Right. And you really take a look at all that, and it's like, oh, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
We could do an entire episode just on Philip K. Dick, like novels and films, because he was an amazing sci-fi writer, but you probably know some of his movies. Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Total Recall.
Yeah.
These are all about like dystopian future.
Scanner
Darkly is one of my favorite films of all time.
Crazy film that kind of, I think, because of the
is
way it was
made. Dumber and Dumber good?
listen, what is? I love that movie, but it's very odd to me how much it kind of slipped under the radar, I think, because of how strange it looks.
Yeah.
That people just didn't get what it was supposed to be. And also, that's a fucked up story that's like all over the place and hard to follow.
It has great Winona Ryder, Woody Harrelson, Robert Downey Jr., Keanu Reeves. That's a killer lineup, man.
It's really amazing visually, just the painstaking animation over the...
I went to see it in Pasadena with my buddy LaVon, who's... Never mind. He works for the government now. Anyways, but we
now, is that a black guy? Is that
rude.
A black
gentleman?
No, he's actually one of he's the first Armenian I ever met. I was going to say what department he worked for, but I paused.
Funny, dude.
We went on mushrooms. That movie, first time seeing it on mushrooms... Oh geez, I was like, was there animation or was that
was that in my head? Yeah, because the whole movie is a drug trip, and it feels like it's intense, but totally worth watching. I like it a lot.
Yeah, but you know, some of the things we're talking about with the media circus and everything, those are the things that make me think we could not be in the Matrix, only because when you think of the Matrix, you think of like, you know, Truman's World. You think of just making things seem cool. And everyone being happy. So, like, to insert that much strife into the Matrix, maybe that's, I don't know.
Maybe that's
what if I told you, dude? Yes. What if I told you that, like, every single movie ever made is like going on at one time? So, when you sit there and you go, oh, this can't be a simulation because these groups are fighting with each other. But what if that's all part of the assimilation? What if those people, those Rothschilds, are in assimilation, and in that simulation, they're pulling that? And if there are, there's alien? I mean, like, I believe it could all go on. It sounds fucking nuts. Like, we look at what's going on right now, it's literally like every single Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is going on at one fucking time.
Well, it's interesting, because I always think, like, in a sense of, like, if we are the entertainment for some alien life form.
Right.
And this is like, we are their movie, or let's say we are their sports league, you know? It's almost like, at this point, the disparity of income is so great that it's kind of like just the Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals every year. And it seems like they didn't want to shake it up just because they're like, well, like, the poor people need a draft pick. You know what I mean? Otherwise, they're just looking at...
Do you want to hear something crazy?
Yes.
There's always this theory that the politics is so rigged that the only time a Democrat wins is when it's gotten so bad under Republican, they have to throw a Democrat in to have everybody calm down.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, that makes perfect sense. I feel like if you go back, that's kind of how it feels.
Okay. Do we have time for one? Do you have one big one, or we? I think...
Do you have anything else?
Do you guys have anyone you want to talk about? Because we got to wrap it up.
No,
here.
No, we're good.
I think
there was one quick one that's probably the most fun, and I just love it, and that's that Keanu Reeves is immortal.
Oh, yes.
Is what?
Is immortal.
Yeah, there's that.
There's like
around.
A fan theory that he's immortal and that he looks like Charlemagne if you go back, and then he looks like some guy in the some doctor from the 1800s.
Really?
And that the only reason he's as charitable and wonderful as he is because he's had so many lifetimes of experience, and he's like, I don't need money, I'm good.
Only thing is, if he was immortal,
which I totally hope is true,
seems
by
like
the way.
He would have become a really good actor at some point.
Dude, you don't want to give anything away. You don't want to draw too much attention. You stay at the same level.
I mean, you've been acting for five centuries. You know,
great movies though.
No, he is. He's.
I mean, like John Wick was. You're like
in the right role. He is the best. Exactly, but he should be John Wick, and he should be.
Yeah, he was great in John
Wick. He makes sense as those characters.
I love John Wick.
I loved Aaron, what's your thoughts on John Wick?
Are we going to do it?
I like it, but if
Aaron.
Don't be an idiot.
Aaron. Well, you better be sick, dead, or mute, Aaron. You done messed up, Aaron.
You filthy animal.
I mean, I like John Wick, but if we're going Keanu, my movie's Point Break.
Oh, right? Another great one.
Yeah, great one.
Another great one. Guys, real quick, because we got to wrap up, tell them where they can find your podcast, your social media. Do you guys have any dates you want them to come see?
Yeah, we are at Movie Nightcast on Twitter and Instagram. We're part of All Things Comedy as well. So if you like this, give us a listen. And I am at TK Kelly Comedy, all that shit on the internet. I'm doing a tour of the Northeast late June. So if you're in that area, check out my site for dates.
Yes, DwaynePerkins.com. June 15th, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood on a midnight show. June 7th, I don't know if that might be too soon, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. 29th and 30th of June, I'll be at Kung Fu Comedy Club in Shanghai.
Oh,
and
yeah,
my website is DwaynePerkins.com.
All right, dude. You are the best, man. You guys did great. You killed it. Ryan, thank you for everything.
And since we were talking about dreams and I love the movie Waking Life, I'm going to leave you guys on a little something here.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's try it again. It wouldn't be tinfoil hat.
Mic drop. Well, let me pick the mic back up. Let me drop it again.
Yeah. Hey. You a dreamer?
Yeah.
Haven't seen too many of you around lately. Things have been tough lately for dreamers. They say dreaming's dead. And no one does it anymore. It's not dead, it's just it's been forgotten. Removed from our language. Nobody teaches it, so no one knows it exists. The dreamer's banished to obscurity. I'm trying to change all that, and I hope you are too. By dreaming every day. Dreaming with our hands and dreaming with our minds. Our planet is facing the greatest problems it's ever faced. Ever. So whatever you do, don't be bored. This is absolutely the most exciting time we could have possibly hoped to be alive. And things are just starting.